بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading concerning beliefs. Belief number 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent many divine scriptures and booklets from the heavens via Jibreel alayhi salam to the messengers so that they could convey to their people the matters of deen. Four of these books are famous: the Torah, which was revealed to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the Zabur, which was revealed to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, the Injil, which was revealed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and the Quran al-Majid, which was revealed to our messenger Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is the final scripture. No new scripture will be revealed. The rulings of the Quran will remain till Qiyamah. Misguided people effected many changes in the other scriptures. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to preserve the Quran al-Majid. No one will be able to change it. Belief number 23. Whichever Muslim has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to as a Sahabi. It means he has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he passed away also in a state of Iman. He is a Sahabi. Many virtues have been narrated regarding them. One should possess love and entertain good thoughts of every one of them. If we come to know of any disputes that took place between them, between the Sahaba, then we should attribute it to some misunderstanding. We should not speak ill of them. From amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, four are the most lofty. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he succeeded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and controlled the affairs of deen. He is referred to as the first Khalifa. He is the most superior person in this ummah. Number two, after him was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the second Khalifa. Number three, he was followed by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was the third Khalifa. And number four, he was succeeded by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the fourth Khalifa. Belief number 24. All the children and honorable wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are worthy of honor and respect. Amongst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's offspring, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha holds the loftiest status. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha are the most elevated from amongst the noble wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the eighth para was recited. The first verse of the eighth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the ignorance and the obstinacy of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, the idol worshippers of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The verse before this first ayat, the last verse of the seventh para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these mushrikeen, that despite seeing the numerous signs and miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which proved the truth of Islam and also of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they remained adamant and demanded to see miracles of their own choice. They told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you change this mount of Safa into gold, then only we will bring Iman on you. They told him that if you revive the dead, our forefathers, in a way where you can even speak to them, then only we will believe in you to be a Nabi and accept what you are saying. They even told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you say Jibreel alayhi salam from Allah ta'ala brings wahi and revelation to you. We want to see these angels with our own eyes. Jibreel alayhi salam. Then only we will bring Iman. You talk about Jannat and Jahannam. We want to see it with our own eyes. Then only we will bring Iman. Concerning that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in that verse, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ, that they take oaths in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very strong oaths, that if a sign has to come to them, which means a miracle of their choice, then they say, لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا, then definitely you will bring Iman. In this first verse of the eighth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that actually these are all fraudulent excuses of these mushrikeen, false excuses. In reality, they have no interest whatsoever in bringing Iman. Allah Ta'ala says that even if you have to send down to them the angels and the dead, even speak to them, and we gather for them everything in front of their eyes of the unseen. مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then too they will not bring iman unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So these are just excuses they are presenting. They don't really have any will to an interest to bring iman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these mushrikeen, polytheists, are your enemies. But every Nabi, Allah Ta'ala had appointed enemies for them. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. Just as these people are your enemies, likewise we have appointed for every Nabi enemies in the form of shayateen, whether they are humans, in the form of humans or jinnat. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. They whisper to one another, زُخْرِفَ الْقَوْلِ, all beautiful things, with the intent to deceive and to put people into deception, ghurura. This is their objective. So you don't have to be, you don't think so only you, your nation is dealing with you in this way. All the previous nations also, the enemies had been appointed for their Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these mushrikeen are asking for particular miracles to be shown. There is no need to that. We have given you many miracles already to prove your truthfulness as a Nabi. And the greatest miracle we have granted you is in the form of the Quran al-Majeed. Concerning the Quran al-Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says that it is that kitab الَّذِي أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَابَ مُفَصَّلًا. Allah Ta'ala is that who has revealed upon you a kitab which is detailed in every aspect for our guidance. All details are found in the Quran al-Majeed. Therefore the Quran al-Majeed is applicable for all nations, for all types of people, for all generations, and for all changing conditions up till the day of Qiyamah. Never will the Quran al-Majeed become outdated because of the changing of times. The Quran al-Majeed laws are applicable for all people to come till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala then mentions further concerning the Quran al-Majeed, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. That the word of your Rabb, that is the words of the Quran al-Majeed, are complete and perfect in truth and in justice. And, by truth is meant that all the events and conditions and warnings and promises which have been mentioned in the Quran al-Majeed are 100% true. And adlan, justice, that all the injunctions mentioned in the Quran al-Majeed are all based on justice. No rule and no injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Majeed has any element of injustice in it. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, وَدَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا. That forsake all types of sin, outward as well as inward. So just as it is important to cleanse and purify ourselves from outward sins, similarly the same level of importance and emphasis is on cleaning ourselves internally also from all spiritual ailments, whether it is the ailments of pride or jealousy or greed or whatever else which we call spiritual ailments of the heart. The importance of that also is emphasized in this verse. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of that person who has iman and that person who doesn't have iman. Allah Ta'ala says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. That is that person who is dead, then we revived him, we gave him life, in other words, blessed him with Islam, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. And we gave him a light, the light of Islam, with which he walks amongst people. Can he ever be the same as that person who is groping in a multitude of darknesses, from which he is not able to come out, in other words, in kufr? Can the two of them ever be equal? Never. So the example of a mu'min is one who is alive and who has light. And we all know light is something which subdues darkness. Darkness surrenders in front of light. If there is complete darkness anywhere, and even a flicker of light if in any way is produced, that will now subdue the surrounding darkness. So this is that light which we call the light of iman. Any person who has iman, then not only he himself benefits, but also around him people benefit. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدُ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. that person concerning whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give hidayat, Allah ta'ala expands and opens his heart for Islam so that the light of Islam can enter into his heart. Concerning those who are in kufr, Allah ta'ala says, and that person whom Allah ta'ala wants that he must stay astray, Allah ta'ala makes his heart Allah ta'ala makes his heart constricted and narrow, كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as if he is climbing towards the skies. We all know the higher you go, there is a scarcity of oxygen, and a person feels difficult to breathe the higher he goes. So that person now who is in kufr, that is his condition, his heart is not opened for the light of Islam. It comes in a hadith that the sign that the light of Islam has come into the heart of a person is that he becomes disinclined from this deceptive world of the dunya, abode of the dunya, and he inclines towards the eternal abode of the hereafter, and he prepares for death before death can come. This is a sign that the person has been granted expansion of heart, in other words, sharh-e sadr, and the light of Islam has entered into his heart. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of many of the wrong beliefs and the ignorant customs of the polytheists concerning the animals and concerning their crops, how they used to allocate a share for the idols and in deities which they used to worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that has been mentioned here. Further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention of his great bounties in the form of crops, plantations and orchards. And Allah Ta'ala reminds us, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِ, that in these crops and orchards, pay its due on the day of harvesting. So the obligation of zakat on crops has been referred to in this ayat. Thereafter, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention further of his bounties in the form of animals, domesticated animals which Allah Ta'ala has granted men. For that reason, the surah also has been called Suratul An'am. An'am means cattle, those animals which are domesticated, which stay with humans, and humans benefit from them. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of a verse in which Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform the people of some fundamental commandments and prohibitions. 10 such have been mentioned here, and all these 10 are such that every religion, every Nabi who commanded his nation concerning these 10 fundamentals and 10 commands. First one is, don't ascribe anything as partner to Allah Ta'ala. Number 2, to be kind and gentle and good to one's parents. Number 3, not to kill your children for fear of poverty. Number 4, don't approach any type of indecency and immodesty, whether outward or inward. Number 5, don't kill, take the life of any person which Allah Ta'ala has sanctified, unless with a particular right. Number 6, don't approach the wealth of orphans, but in a way which is good, which is beneficial for those orphans. Number 7, when weighing and measuring, make sure that you measure and weigh in full with justice. And number 8, then fulfill your, when you speak with justice, speak correctly, give testimony correctly, even though it might be against your own relatives. And number 9, fulfill your pledges. And the last one is mentioned, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people that all these commandments which have been given are that straight path which I have been sent with. Therefore follow that path and don't follow any other path, which for which you will then deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, that person who brings forth to Allah ta'ala a good action, he will be rewarded, and his reward will be multiplied tenfold. But the person who sins, then whatever according to his sin, he will be punished. The sin will not be multiplied like how the reward will be multiplied. So the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is mentioned here, that our rewards will be multiplied minimum tenfold, but our sins, the punishment of it will not be increased in intensity, but only according to the sin which we have committed. After refuting all the beliefs and customs of the mushrikeen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. That my salat, my forms of ibadat, my life, my living and my dying is all only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds, who has no partner. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu mentions that it is my heart's desire that every mu'min should repeat this verse and contemplate over its meaning over and over again, and he should make it his objective and formula of life, where you dedicate everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even your life and your dying. Towards the last ayat of this surah, Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we have made you, O man, vicegerents on the surface of the earth, and we have elevated the status of some over others. Some have been given more talent, expertise, more good morals, whatever it is. But each one is not the same. Some have been given greater status than others. But the point here is, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ, so that Allah Ta'ala may test you in that which Allah Ta'ala has granted you. So all the bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed any person with, whether beauty, whether wealth, whether talent, whatever else, this is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants to see how do you behave and how do you use those ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is obedience or disobedience. The next surah is Suratul A'raf. This surah is also a Makki surah, and as was explained, the Makki surah, normally the central theme around in this surah concerns the fundamentals of deen, tawheed, risalat and akhirat. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions particularly some scenes of the year after. The weighing of deeds have been mentioned. وَالْوَزْنِ يَوْمَ إِذْنِ الْحَقِّ. Here also we should understand, our deeds will not be counted, they will be weighed. And the weighing will be according to the, our sincerity and how well we have did those actions. Not how much we do, not the quantity, but the quality is what is desired. And we should keep this in mind. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, which was mentioned in the first para also, and the refusal of shaitan to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam, as was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which he was accursed and he was banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in disgrace. When he was banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he asked for respite till the end of time, till Qiyamah, and he was granted that respite. And it was at that time that shaitan took the qasam that he will mislead man. He says, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, that I will come and approach them in order to lead them astray from the front, from the back, from the right hand side, from the left hand side, in other words from all directions. So we should be wary of shaitan and all his ways of deception to try and mislead us. When Adam alayhi salam, because shaitan was banished because he did not prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam, then shaitan tried and succeeded in a way to trick Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam to eat from the forbidden tree. But the other point here is that his objective, what was his objective? It comes here, before that, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ, shaitan whispered to the two of them and made it seem to them that it won't be a problem to eat from the forbidden tree. Why? There are many reasons the ulama explained. But the point here is that the result what he wanted to see, لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا, so that to expose to them that which was concealed of their private parts, to expose it to one another. And this is exactly what happened. That the first thing after eating from the forbidden tree, then the dress of Jannat fell off their bodies. And for the first time, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they see one another's private parts. And immediately, the immediate reaction was to cover up with whatever they could find around them, the leaves and the vegetation in Jannat. And they try and they covered up. So it is, this was the first attack of shaitan on the humans, and the objective was to make them lose their shame and modesty and to drop off their dress. So this is the plan of shaitan, that he wants to make men immodest and take away the honor of modesty from them and make them obsessed that nudity, whereas we all know that nudity is actually indecency at its worst. The first command after iman is to cover up. This is what differentiates us between human beings and the animals. That the animals, they don't have that dress to cover up the private parts. But it is human nature that we have to cover the private parts, but it is the instigation of shaitan. And the enemies of Islam, to rather call them the enemies of mankind, their objective is to promote nudity. And we all know, in the name of women's liberation, whereas women are supposed to be the epitome of modesty and shame, but yet they use them as cheap commodities for the sale of the merchandise, with the result that every advertisement, virtually every advertisement, there will be a half-naked woman which will be attractive to people to see, and the objective is to sell the commodity. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately after that mentions, Ya Bani Adama, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا, that O children of Adam, we have sent down for you clothing. أَنزَلْنَا doesn't mean it rains clothing from the skies as rain comes down, but here it refers to the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have provided the raw materials and the expertise and the intelligence to make clothing with. Just like Allah Ta'ala elsewhere mentioned, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ, we have sent down iron. Yeah, it means we have blessed you with the great commodity of iron, with which you make so many of your things, machinery and everything around us. You see, iron is used. So similarly here, Allah Ta'ala uses the word anzalna. So there are two objectives of clothing. One is yuwari su'atikum, to conceal your private parts, your satr, and the second one is warisha. Warisha means because for beauty and comfort of the body. So this is the objective of clothing. Immediately after that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, that the dress of taqwa, that is better. So besides the physical dress, we have to now inculcate within us the dress of taqwa. Just as the physical dress protect us from the elements, from heat, from cold, and adds beauty to our bodies. Similarly, taqwa is such, when a person gets taqwa, he refrains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he beautifies himself. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that libas of taqwa, the dress of taqwa, constitutes three things. One is good conduct, good actions, and number three, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala diverts our intention also to taqwa and calls it the dress of taqwa. The ulama explained the link between the two also, that when a person is particular of his physical dress and he keeps it in accordance to the dictates of Shariat and Sunnah, this goes a long way in acquiring this quality of taqwa. So we should be particular of how we dress and what type of dressing we use. It must not be such which will take us away from the quality of taqwa. It must be such that takes us towards the quality of taqwa. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of an ayat of the same concerning dressing. Allah ta'ala makes mention, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنَّ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, that adopt your clothing of beauty at the time and place of every salat, which means that we should dress properly at the time of salat. Salat, we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should not be in a haphazard way. Things and clothing which we will not regard to be clothing with which to approach others, that clothing should not be used when standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah mentions, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, eat and drink, but don't be wasteful, don't be extravagant. Use the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah has provided, but never be extravagant and wasteful. Elsewhere Allah ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ كَانُوا مِنْ إِنَّ الْمُبَدِّلِينَ كَانُوا مِنْ مِنْ إِخْوَانِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that those who are who are extravagant and wasteful, they are the brothers of shayateen. In other words, shaitan incites a person to be wasteful and extravagant. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the reason why, makes mention of Araf, for which the surah also is called Araf. Araf actually means a high wall which acts as a barrier between two sides. So Araf is actually a place between Jannat and Jahannam. And those people whose good and bad deeds don't outweigh one another, but they are equal. So they are not eligible to enter into Jannah, nor they are worthy to be sent into Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala will place those people in Araf. And later on Allah Ta'ala through His grace and mercy will eventually then put them into Jannah. So the incident of the people of Araf, how they will communicate with the people of Jannah and Jahannam, all that has been mentioned here. From there onwards, afterwards, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many incidents of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and their nations. The Quran al-Majeed is not a book of history, just to record facts of history, but there are reasons why such incidents have been recorded here. The incident of Nuh alayhi salam and his nation, Hud alayhi salam and his nation, Salih alayhi salam and his nation, Lut alayhi salam and his nation, and also Shu'aib alayhi salam and his nation, all are mentioned in this section till the end of the 8th para. So what is the objective? The objective one, the ulama explain, is to provide solace to and console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your nation who are harassing you, and who are mocking at you, and not accepting your word, you are not the only one. The previous Anbiya alayhi salam went through the same thing. Then the other reason is that in all these incidents, we see that Haqq triumphs over batil. Always Allah Ta'ala makes it such that eventually Haqq will be dominant and will be triumphant over batil. And the other reason is to prove the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not get any formal education. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered. Yet, with great accuracy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the incident of the past, which is a definite proof that through revelation, through wahi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of this, which is a proof of his nabuwat. And the last objective is to provide us with lessons, and we should take lessons from all these incidents, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who are disobedient and those who are involved in many types of evils, for example the nation of Lut alayhi salam were involved in homosexuality besides kufr and shirk, the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam were involved in cheating when it comes to weight and measure, how the respective anbiya repeatedly tried and mend their ways and informed them, but rather than accepting the message, they actually turned against their respective Anbiya alayhi salam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's then punishment came, and they were completely destroyed.